السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد، فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی فی القرآن المجید: اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. شہد اللہ انہ لا الہ الا ہو والملائکۃ واولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا الہ الا ہو العزیز الحکیم ان الدین عند اللہ الاسلام صدق اللہ العظیم. الحمدللہ، with the fazl karam and ihsan of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Rabbul Izzat has allowed for us to be here amongst our Muhtamim Sahab, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahab, all our Asatizah Ikiram, and so many of our pious elders in this Mubarak gathering, in this Mubarak place. And we make dua that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accept, Allah Ta'ala make it a means of our hidayat, Allah Ta'ala make it a turning point in our lives. The theme of the Jalsa, as you know and as Hazrat Mufti Sahib has mentioned, is with regards to all these isms that we hear about nowadays. One is liberalism. So what is liberalism? So sometimes people try to confuse us that liberalism means you must be tolerant. So tolerance, this is a great quality. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the most tolerant. Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so tolerant. Our Asatizah Ikiram, our Mashayikh, they are so tolerant of us. So tolerance, this is a great sifat. Allah Rabbul Izzat must bless all of us with the sifat of tolerance. So liberalism is not tolerance. Liberalism means that we must be comfortable with guna. We must be comfortable with sin in the name of tolerance. And we must be comfortable with our deen being diluted. Our deen being diluted in the name of tolerance. So tolerance is just a smoke screen. Liberalism actually means that I must become comfortable. If my deen is also being spoken bad about, I must be comfortable in that environment also. I must be comfortable with those people. If people want to change the face of deen, I must be comfortable with that also. I must not make amar bil ma'roof. I must not make nahi anil munkar. I must not stand up for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. That is liberalism. Then we get modernism. So modernism, here again, they say that no, things are changing. So we also have to change. So if you are not accepting of modernism, then why do you drive a motor car? Why do you use a telephone? Why are we using this loudspeaker if we don't want modern things? So that also is a smoke screen. What is modernism? Modernism is a mindset. A mindset that I must do in my deen as I please, and I must take the ayat of the Quran Sharif and the ahadith of my beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and distort the meaning in order to make what I am doing permissible. What I want to do to make it permissible, I must distort the meanings of the Quran Sharif and the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is modernism. And this is exactly what we see happening in what's supposed to be the heart of the Muslim world, what we see happening in Saudi Arabia now. They say they want to, you know, re-look at all the kitabs and re-look at the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you see what is happening there, we're just using it as an example. If you see what is happening there, so all this modernist ideas want to be brought in. Music, get rid of hijab, women must be able to work. All these modernist ideas must be brought in. But now we can't look bad also. So what we must do is, we must distort the meanings of the Quran and the ahadith and fool the masses that what we are doing is correct. This is modernism. There is one malfooz of Azmoin Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali coming to mind, one example that he had mentioned, that there was one politician who had become murtad, not in our country, Ghaliban, I think Hazrat mentioned in India, that one politician had become murtad, and he was somebody who was supposed to have been learned, but he became murtad. Allah Ta'ala protect me, Allah Ta'ala protect us all. So he continued in his political career, and later on, when he came out of politics, then people spoke to him, Allah Ta'ala gave him hidayat, he made tawbah, he made istighfar, and he brought iman again. So some friends who knew him from before, so they asked him, they said, but how come you left deen? You were a knowledgeable person, you went into this field of politics, you said, no, you are going to fight for the cause of the Muslims and Islam and all these noble intentions you had. What happened to you? So he then explained himself. He said that, see, I knew all along Islam is correct. I never ever had a doubt with regards to Islam being correct. But when I joined this political circles now, so now sometimes they are going out to eat, sometimes they are going for some parties, the parties go for parties, and sometimes they are going overseas. Now when they go on these trips, a lot of things used to take place. So in the early days, I was abstaining, and then I started getting involved, and then they would ask me, but how come you doing this? You're a Muslim, how come you doing this? So he said that the best way out for me, I thought at that time in my foolish thinking, is I rather leave Islam. Rather leave Islam, then nobody can point finger at me. Now this is a modernist idea. The modernist thinks that by distorting the deen, so nobody can then point a finger at me. I can do as I please, I will find one dalil somewhere or I'll distort something somewhere. This is the ideology of modernism. And then we get what we hear very common, feminism. So here again, the smoke screen is, no, our ladies must be empowered. They too must be given an opportunity. And all different things will be spoken about the woman. But in reality, this whole feminism is to destroy the household. Destroy families. This is feminism. Because once you take the mother out of the house, because this is what this feminism is all about, that she must now come out and go and work. She must come out, go and work in the name of empowering her. In reality, it is enslaving her and making her a slave to all the filth that is carrying on in the marketplace. So she becomes like a bandi to don't know how many owners out there. But everybody is very happy. The children are happy that my mother is CEO of such company. The husband also very proudly, my wife is such and such position she got in certain company. But what is going on there, what is happening in those homes, and what those children are being deprived of, this is this feminism, to destroy the whole structure which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, the place of the mother, the honorable place of the mother, to remove it. And then that whole structure of the home is then destroyed. So this is feminism. Now there are so many other isms. However, all these isms, if we have to take it, something that our Hazrat Maulana Hamid Sahib Nawan Barakatuhu mentioned in one majlis some time back, Hazrat had mentioned that if there is a piece of land that was neglected, and there's a whole lot of weeds there and thorny trees and the grass is gone very high, etc., and a person now wants to clean this thing out, so there's two ways of doing it. One is, he starts from one corner now and he starts to take out one weed at a time, understanding each weed, where it comes from, what it's going to do, and now putting out this one weed. And the other way is, a person just takes a match. It's all dry. He takes a match, he lights it, let the whole thing burn, and now start fresh. Start fresh, cultivate that land. So all these isms, if we are going to go into each ism, all our time will go away. These isms are born out of one thing. It's born out of one thing. Whichever ism we take is born out of one thing. And I want to explain it using one example. Hazrat Mohammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had mentioned this. I can't remember what was the name of that buzurg, but he was connected, spiritually connected. His sheikh was Hazrat Shah Abrar al Haq Sahib Hardoi Rahmatullah Ali. So this particular buzurg, Alim, he had to undergo some operation. And for that he had to go to the hospital to undergo this operation. So when he went there, so you know, in the hospital now they ask you to fill in, you know. You must write, give them the rights. So if they do anything wrong, you can't tell them anything. They'll still take your money. So they make you sign. So in there they want to know also who's your next of kin, in case you pass away here or something, who must we contact? So he had given his sheikh's name. So they asked, now what is your connection? Who is this to you? So he said that this is my Ruhani doctor. My spiritual mentor, my spiritual doctor, my Ruhani doctor. So the doctors, they were puzzled. So they asked him that, what is this Ruhani doctor? So the explanation he gave, and this is what, you know, if we can understand this, Allah Ta'ala give us ability. He said that where your knowledge stops, all your machines, everything that you got, where it stops, he starts. So they say, what are you talking? We are big specialists here in this hospital. We got latest machines and we can check everything. How can you? This is like an insult to us. So he said, okay, let me explain to you that you can tell me with your machine that how much sugar I got in my body. You can tell me what my pressure is. You can give me, you know, few things. But can you tell me how much of pride I got in me? Can you tell me what I am lacking in my connection with Allah Ta'ala? All your machines and all your... So they said, no, that we can't give you that. So they said, but that's what I'm explaining to you. That where your knowledge, the height of your knowledge, where it stops, that's where he starts. Now, what is the message here? The message is that, see, this whole, all this worldly knowledge, there's nothing wrong with worldly knowledge, how to build, how to plant, That is worldly knowledge, how to sow. That is worldly knowledge. But all this worldly knowledge also, and then all the secular knowledge, which we have a problem with, the secular knowledge. All of this, no matter how high it goes, wherever it stops, it hasn't even come anywhere where our deen starts. If we can understand this, if we can get this right, that deen is supreme, we are slaves of Allah Ta'ala. And deen is supreme, shariat is supreme, sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is supreme, then we don't need anything else. We will be safe, we will be on the right path, we will be conforming with what Allah Ta'ala wants of us. And all these isms, no matter how many isms there are, and no matter how many isms are still going to come, no matter how many bimaris there may be, and how many there is still going to come, whatever the situation is, whatever conditions come upon us, we will know that I just have to remain within the parameters of the shariat, within the parameters of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now where the test comes is we have fallen in love with the world. We have fallen in love with dunya. We have fallen in love with wealth. We have fallen in love with ourselves. And we don't want to lose these things. We don't want to lose these things. So then we start trying to use our mind to try and secure all these things. Even if it means going against the Sharia. Even if it means going against the Sunnah. When we have this mindset, then we will fall victim to the isms that shaitan is spewing out. Then only will we fall prey. See, we take example from Huzur e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala, he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he complained with regards to his brother's health, that his brother had a problem with in the stomach. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that tell your brother to have honey or give him honey. So he came back again and he said that he's still got a problem. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him again that give him honey, tell him to have honey. So he came back again. And eventually he came and he told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that my brother is now well. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Sadaq Allah. Allah Ta'ala spoke the truth. Your brother's stomach was lying. Your brother's stomach was lying. Allah spoke the truth. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't change. He didn't change. Allah Ta'ala said there is shifa in honey. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued prescribing honey. Eventually he got cured. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah spoke the truth, your brother's stomach was turning light. So we have to understand this, that we have to stand by our deen. And we mustn't shift from there. An inch we mustn't shift from there. Whether it is our wealth involved, whether it is our health involved, we have to understand that whatever is going to come to me, whatever Allah Ta'ala has decreed is going to happen, no matter what I do, it is definitely going to happen. And whatever I am going to be saved from, no matter what anybody tries to harm me, I am going to be saved. So if we have this right, then we won't get involved in these things. And as we go closer to Qiyamah, more and more of these fitnas are going to come about. Now, We want this whole bimari issue that we went through to be behind us. And we don't want to keep talking about it. But see, once Hazrat Mohammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was on a flight, you know, in the aeroplane. And there happened to be a medical professor sitting next to him on the flight. So they got talking, and the topic of cholesterol came about. So the doctor mentioned to Hazrat, he said that no, our new findings are that a cholesterol patient can even eat one egg a day, it won't trouble him. So Hazrat asked him, but before they used to say cholesterol patient mustn't eat egg. So he said, yes, that was our research at that time, that a cholesterol patient mustn't have egg. Then we did a new research, he said, no, one egg a week is fine. But the latest research is that one egg a day also is fine. There's no problem. So Hazrat told him in a nice way, he said, see, your research we can't really trust. Because when we were little children, then the research at that time was that we must only eat the apple, we mustn't eat the peel. So our mothers and grannies used to peel the apple and then only give us the apple to eat without the peel. Then later on, you all came out with the research that the peel also got some benefits. So you must eat the apple with the peel. So Hazrat told him, it mustn't happen that few years time you come out with another research that we must throw the apple away and only eat the peel. So this is science. This is science, this is their research. Right? And this modernist thinking doesn't want to accept the concepts of deen. Hazrat was on the ship. Hazrat mentioned that time he was still a student. He was traveling to India, going on the ship. And there was one person there who was also in this secular field. So he met them. So he started asking them some questions. You're going to study deen and all these things. So then he started asking them that, do you also believe that there's angels recording all the a'mal? So Hazrat said, yes, that's our iman. So this person was a Muslim person also. He said, this is our iman. And the Malaika recording. So this person told Hazrat, so the angels are writing everything. Everything they write. From the time you wake up, you go to sleep, whatever you did, whatever you spoke. So they're recording everything. So he told Hazrat, he said that if that is the case, then those angels must be having such huge ledgers, you know, that don't know what size, no size jacket will fit you. How you'll be able to wear your jacket? Those angels are sitting on your shoulders with these huge, huge ledgers. This is what the secular knowledge does to a person's brain. Because he says, seeing is believing. Everything he must be able to prove it, must be able to see it. So, Hazrat didn't carry him immediately. So they carried on talking. So Hazrat asked him, say, what's your profession? So he gave his profession. So Hazrat asked him, so where you studied? So he said, no, he studied certain place. He said, so you must be well traveled. So he said, yeah, no, I traveled this country, that country. He said, so can you remember what you saw in this country? Can you tell us something about that country? So he said, yes, yes, I got all the memory. So when he carried on. So then Hazrat told him, he said, oh, you got so many things in your brain, no hat will ever fit you. So this is what this you know, all the time we say that we don't know what is happening with our children. Every era, so what is happening with our children? The students have changed, the children have changed. What is happening and why our children are developing these mindsets is because of school. This whole mindset, whether it's feminism, liberalism, modernism, whatever ism, it comes from school. A girl, How does she become a feminist? From a Muslim home, growing up in a Muslim home, how does she become a feminist? See, generally a girl, she's got a very high level of sharam. Very high level of sharam, especially from a Muslim home. Now you take this Muslim girl, you put her in school. Now I remember when we were in school, and if you're talking in the class, so what was the punishment? They make me sit next to a girl. They take you. I don't know if in your school, but they do it in our school. The girls used to sit one side, boys used to sit one side. Now if you're talking in the class, you go sit there next to that girl. That was regarded as a punishment. You must go sit next to that girl. But what will it do? That punishment, what will it do? Now you're going to be sitting next to that girl. Inevitably you're going to talk to her. She is going to talk to you. What is happening to her sharam? That guard that she has, that I don't talk to boys, that is broken. It's broken. Some years back, I had to go to the local primary school there to go and speak to the principal about Juma Salah for the learners. So when I entered the school, I'm hearing in one class there's a big commotion carrying on. And the principal happened to be there also. So I first thing, what is going on here, you know? And I got there and I told somebody, you know, I need to see the principal. So he came out and then I discussed with him. So I asked him, sir, what's happening here, you know? And some of our Muslim children who are coming to our maktab, now they're coming late to maktab because of this, what was happening there in the school. So I asked the principal, what's going on? He said, no, we're teaching them speech and drama. Speech and drama. So I said, but why the noise? So he said, no, some girls, they don't like to talk. They don't like to talk. So what we got a special therapist now. She comes here. She's a professional in this field. So she makes them run. She makes them run round the class and then come to the mic when now they are, you know, their blood is running and now they must talk on the mic. So automatically they have to talk very loud. So that's how she gets their voice out. Now a girl's voice is supposed to be in parda. If she talks soft, she doesn't want to talk too much. Those are all good qualities. Now we are taking that masum child, putting her in that environment, right? And now she is exposed to all of this. And when she comes out a feminist later, then we want to know that from Morana's house a feminist came out. But that family is in Tabligh, but a feminist came out. But that family is connected with Mashaikh, but a feminist came out. Or a modernist came out. Or a person with liberal ideas came out. In school, what happens? In school, what happens? Look at our culture. Recently, Hazrat has been speaking also about those holidays. Right? So many of us, that for those of us who are connected to Deen, but we are also caught up in this holiday culture. So now when we go on a holiday, then that means we are azad. So sometimes even a knowledgeable person, but he's gone on holiday, even his kurta is gone. Normally the person is connected in tabligh, he's got his amama, everything he got, but now he's on holiday. Now he's got three quarters and his t-shirt. Now I'm on holiday, man. Yeah. You're taking a bit easy now. I'm on holiday. It's a mindset. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand the attack. We don't understand what he's doing to us. School, right? School makes a person, for us Muslims, like a hypocrite. Because you go to school, a person, he's got his deen, but now when he goes to school, he has to accept what's going on there. Now if they are teaching Daoism, if they're teaching Daoism, which goes totally against our deen, right? If a person subscribes to Daoism, he has lost his iman, finished, he's gone. Right? Allah save us. But this child, even if he doesn't agree, but he has to sit and listen to it. Can he stand up and walk out of the class? Can he stand up and walk out and say that, no, I don't accept this, so I won't listen to it? No. He has to listen to it whether he likes it or not. In school, they used to have a music lesson. Now what's happening in school is much worse. But even from those days, they used to have music lessons. So now what our parents thought was piety, they must go to the principal and say, no, see, we are Muslims, so we don't want our children to sing. So the principal, he said, okay, no problem. You must, this Muslim children, they must just sit in the class. While the music is carrying on, they must just sit in the class, but they don't have to take part. They don't have to sing, but they must just sit there. Because otherwise, who's going to supervise them now? So they have to be with the class, but they don't have to sing. But just sitting there, exposed to that music. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that this music will create hypocrisy in the heart. So now the child who in his house, maybe there's no TV, there's no music, there's nothing. But he goes to school and he gets exposed to the music. And all for what? All for what? Bottom line is for what? Because we forgot that Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq. We forgot that. We think the school became the provider. The degree became the provider. Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to take care of each and every one of us. Not only us. The animals, the fish, the birds, every makhluk of Allah Ta'ala, Allah will take care of. But Allah Ta'ala will take care of that makhluk as Allah decides. Today, we want to dictate how we want to be taken care of. We want to dictate what our rozi must be. We don't want to be content with what Allah Ta'ala has allotted for us. And we have fallen in love with the world. We have fallen in love with the world. And we are prepared to sacrifice everything. That mother must come out of the home. The father's namazes can go. The children's deen can go. All to acquire the world. And from the school is where the rot comes. From the school. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he was dead against schooling. Dead against sending the children to school. And he used to, from that time already, he didn't live to see what is happening now in the schools. But from that time already, he was advising all those who had taluk with him, don't send your children to school. And that is why then they started this homeschooling concepts and all these kind of things to keep the children away from school. Our old people that came from India and all that, they came here, what schooling did they have? But Allah Ta'ala gave empires. We have proof in front of us. There was one father, he was insisting his son must go to university. Now that same degree that the son got separated the son from the parents. Separated the son from the parents. But he was insisting. But that particular father, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with so much, and he got no degree. He got no degree. Some people with degree also are starving. People without degree, Allah Ta'ala is giving them. So many of our old people, they couldn't even sign their name. They were still putting thumbprint. But Allah Ta'ala has given them such empire. So I'm not saying everybody without a degree is going to become a karorpati. That's not the case. whatever Allah has decreed for us, we have to be content. We have to be content with it. So, our time also is running out. But I want to just conclude with one malfooz of Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat mentioned, I was reading it the other day, that how we will save ourselves from Dajjal. So all these, we say, Dajjali fitna, Dajjali fitna. So how to save ourselves from this Dajjali fitna and Dajjal himself? Because remember, Dajjal, he is going to come, as Thani Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, he will take the form of a majzoob. He will be like, he's a majzoob. And people who get carried away with all this hocus pocus will be the first ones to fall hook, line and sinker for him. So, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that Dajjal will have many abilities. He'll be able to do many things. But one thing he won't be able to do is he won't be able to make amal on the sunnah. And somebody in that majlis mentioned that this too is a mu'jiza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that Dajjal is a fake, you know, he is an imposter, he is a deceiver. And the sunnah is something that is genuine. The sunnah is something that is genuine. So he won't be able to practice on the sunnah. So our fortress is the sunnah of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our weakness today is we have chosen a few sunnahs. Myself also. I'm speaking myself first. That we have chosen a few sunnahs and then we have confined ourselves to those few sunnahs. No. It must be our life's mission that we bring more and more and more and more sunnahs and become particular about it. Become particular about it. That I must do it in accordance with the sunnah and my niyat must be there also. My niyat also must be there. That I am doing it because it is the sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we do this, one is we will be protected. And second thing is, we will not be deceived. We will not be deceived. Because there will be many deceivers to come. Many deceivers to come. And if we have to look up in history, many people who were learned people, many people who were learned people, who were looked up upon, they were bought off. They were bought off. And they then started different isms. If you take this Qadianism, so this Mirza, who was the, you know, founder of this Qadianism, so what was one of his main Aqidah? If a person wanted to be a Qadiani, what was one of his main Aqidah? After that must believe in him and all that, the next thing is, you must obey the British government. You must obey the British government. This was part of his Aqidah, his belief system, that you must obey the British government. Now at that time, the British were trying to corrupt the Muslims in India. So different strategies will be used. Different things will be used. And the way to deceive the Ummah will be to get around people who are learned. Because if some pandit has to come here and he says he wants to address us, we're not going to listen to him. Some priest comes, we're not going to listen to him. But a person whom we regard as knowledgeable, we will give him a hearing. And if you look at this Mirza, when he started off, he was a defender of Deen. When he started off, he was defending Deen. Then slowly, slowly, he started drifting, till in the end, he then claimed that he is, Wanauzu Billah. He is Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who came back. And then he is the Prophet. But where he started, first he was defending Deen. So we have to be very careful. So how? One is we must make amal on sunnah, and the people who we follow, our akabirin, our mashayikh, our elders, we must see who we following. Is that person on sunnah? Is that person compromising the sunnah? If the person is compromising the sunnah, then we must be wary. We mustn't judge and insult and make rulings on. That's not our work. But we must be careful where we're taking our deen from. This is very, very important. Hazrat Abdul Haq Magda Sahib Naam Barakato always says in the majlis that Allah's desire, that is my desire. Allah's desire, that is my desire. In other words, whatever is Allah Ta'ala's command, that is what I will do. Whatever Allah Ta'ala wants for me, that is what I will accept. However Allah Ta'ala keeps me, I am happy with that. So this is what we have to bring. Live within the sunnah, the sharia, and those whom we follow also, make sure that who we are following is also within the shariat, within the sunnah, upholding the sunnah. Then we will be safe. We will be safe. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala accept. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.